Here's a slightly surprising fact. There's no real driving test for self-driving cars. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. There's no widespread standard for measuring how autonomous cars are performing. For the most part, we have to rely on what self-driving car companies tell us or news about accidents or fatalities. California's Department of Motor Vehicles has something called a disengagement report. Companies have to tell the state how many times a human had to take over driving a fully autonomous vehicle. That report came out last week, but it only records data for cars in California. And the companies themselves say the metrics are inaccurate and misleading. Let's dig into this in Quality Assurance, the segment where we take a deeper look at a big tech story. Jack Stewart covers transportation for Marketplace. I asked him what the problem is with the California metrics.
Say a company rolls out a brand new sort of build of their software, and they're testing that in California because it's near their headquarters. That software could be extra buggy at the beginning, and you could see a bunch of disengagements. But that same company could be running a commercial service in somewhere like Arizona, where they don't have to collate these reports. That service could be running super smoothly. So you don't really get a picture of a company's overall performance just by looking at this one really tight little metric. It was a nice idea of California some years ago to start collecting some information, but it's not really doing what it was originally intended to do nowadays.
Fair, but doesn't it seem like we should at least be able to say you have to have achieved a certain technological competency in order to get permission to operate your vehicle completely autonomously?
Yeah, you know, a driving test, the same sort of thing that we have to give humans, would be one way of doing that. Put these robots through a test. If I have to prove that I'm capable of not hitting the car in front and obeying speed signs, then maybe we could come up with something similar for robots. It doesn't necessarily have to be on the roads. There's ways to do these sort of things through simulation as well that could be really effective. And you could run through a whole bunch of scenarios really quickly in a simulation and prove effectiveness before these vehicles are put on what are ultimately public streets interacting with members of the public.
This seems like a super good idea that we have come up with here. Is anyone working towards something like this?
There are companies that are working towards a sort of test and a way of providing a baseline, but it's not something that really anybody is pushing really hard at the moment.
Would it be helpful to have federal regulations or a federal set of standards and metrics around, you know, autonomous car performance?
I think if you ask the companies that, they would say that federal oversight would be more useful than state oversight because they definitely don't want a patchwork of regulations. But at the same time, they're hardly clamoring for extra oversight at the moment. So I don't think you would find anybody saying, yes, we want the feds to come in and start limiting what we're doing.
I want to ask you about a different topic, which is that Waymo has raised $2.25 billion, a lot of money, and the first time that it's gone outside of the parent company, Alphabet, to raise money. Is this a sign that this is a company that basically costs so much that it needs more than one parent? Yeah. You needed to go dual income on this one?
And it is a different topic, but it's also related because I think it's kind of a sign of, you know, who is perhaps a leader in this race. Waymo is often called the leader in this race. And you've got to imagine that these investors, these corporate investors, have done a lot of due diligence into the progress in this field and researched all these companies very comprehensively before putting up such a lot of money. So it is a sign that, you know, maybe Waymo is doing what some people perceive as good work. It is also a sign of just how much money it costs to do this development. And we still haven't seen any sort of commercial service that makes money. So Waymo is finally running a service with passengers, with paying passengers in the Phoenix area of Arizona. But it's a very, very limited trial. It's not the sort of thing that's making profits yet. So it's still a case of everybody's investing because this is seen as one of the futures for the auto industry, but it's going to take a lot of money before it starts making money.
Right. So this brings me back to metrics, because it is really interesting. Like, what do investors look at when they're trying to determine the health of one of these companies or the prowess?
Yeah, I imagine they get as much information as they possibly can about the performance of the software, which is what it all comes down to at the end of the day. It's not really about the vehicle. These vehicles are quite often just quite standard vehicles, minivans and things. It's not really about the sensors. They're things that can be relatively bought off the shelf. And more so these days, there are just a few companies that you can go to and pick up the hardware that you need. So it's the software, and it's how many miles that software has driven, both in simulation and on the real roads, without any incidents. So you can look at metrics like the number of miles driven between disengagements might show you the progress of an individual company. It might not be a good way to compare across companies if they have different policies, but perhaps a company could present it and say, look, you know, we're doing so much better. The robot only needs a human to take over once every 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 miles, and then you're starting to get a system that's pretty robust.
Jack Stewart covers transportation for Marketplace. And now for some related links. Ironically, just this week, Uber published a blog post outlining some of the tech it uses for its self-driving cars. It's pretty detailed. It talks all about the various components of the technology, how Uber trains the artificial intelligence that drives the cars, and yes, how it uses modeling and simulation to determine whether cars are road ready. You can definitely go read it. I still wouldn't mind having a 5-star rating system established by a government body with some oversight, because I don't really want understanding how Uber accelerates machine learning research with continuous integration and delivery to have to be part of my new consumer responsibilities. Also this week, Waymo, which got that big infusion of cash we talked about, put out a fancy ad showing all its future delivery and trucking and ride-hailing services, which The Verge notes are all quite far in the future still. Also in self-driving talent gossip, remember that guy Anthony Lewandowski, who allegedly stole a bunch of Google's self-driving car tech and then started a company that immediately got bought by Uber, and then Google sued him and Uber fired him, and then he lost the lawsuit and then appealed. And on Wednesday, a judge said, nope, sorry, buddy, you have to pay $179 million in damages. Lewandowski promptly filed for bankruptcy. And now, here's what else we're watching in tech. Under pressure not to spread political misinformation through ads, Facebook has taken down campaign ads paid for by President Trump's re-election committee. Facebook said the ads referred to the 2020 census, and it has a policy against interfering with the census. I mean, it's something. And in another story about you should have done something sooner, Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, also currently the CEO of Square, has said he will reconsider his idea to spend part of this year in Africa. The decision is not because it's kind of a tough thing to do to effectively run two American companies while you also live in Africa half-time. Dorsey said, no, it's actually because of coronavirus, and also because an activist investor group bought 4% of Twitter with the express goal of reshaping its board and kicking Dorsey out. Except Dorsey didn't mention that specifically. He just called it, quote, everything going on. Now, maybe that idea we mentioned yesterday, the disappearing tweets thing, fleets, is an attempt to show that Jack is super checked into innovating Twitter after all these years. But bolting on an idea from Snapchat that Instagram already stole successfully may not make the strongest case. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Jesus Alvarado is our assistant producer. Michael Lipkin helped edit the show this week. Robin Edgar is our engineer. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.